Hi, I'm Monsignor Jim LaSante. This week on Personally Speaking, our guest is Patty Davis. She is, of course, the daughter of President Ronald Reagan and his wife, Nancy. She has a powerful new book called Dear Mom and Dad. Please stay with us. Hello and welcome to Personally Speaking. I'm your host, Monsignor Jim LaSante, and author Patty Davis joins me now. Patty is the daughter and child of Ronald and Nancy Reagan. She has written a number of books, including The Long Goodbye, which dealt with the former president's battle with Alzheimer's disease. Patty's latest book is called Dear Mom and Dad. The subtitle is A Letter About Family, Memory, and the America We Once Knew. The book takes the form of a moving written letter to her parents and examines the private reality behind the couple's public image that only she knew as their daughter. In Dear Mom and Dad, Patty Davis provides a later life look and reconsideration of her parents' lives as people who were shaped by their own early lives. Patty's here with us to talk today about her life, her family, her faith, and her latest book, and how she came to better understand her parents. Joining me now, I'm so pleased to welcome to Personally Speaking, Patty Davis. The book we're talking about is called Dear Mom and Dad, and Patty Davis has written a beautiful memoir about her mom and dad. And let me just start by saying, for all our listeners and viewers, a very, very inviting read, something I couldn't put down, which I do not say often about the books written by our guests.
But I'm good.
It really was interesting. And I just wondered, at what point in your life, Patty, did you realize that while you came from two people who obviously were into media and communications, but that you had the particular gift to communicate in a very, very effective way? When did you know that about yourself?
Well, I mean, I don't know that I still have that confidence. I have some of it, but I have my insecurities, but I always wanted to be a writer. I mean, that's from the time I was a child. It's just all I wanted to do. And I told a story in this book about when my mother used to pick me up at school and I'd be in the corner of the playground and, you know, not playing with other kids, but reading a book. I mean, I was just lost in stories and it's just all I wanted to do.
Yeah. And you do it so well, Patty. It's
well,
a
thank
gift.
You.
It's obviously a gift you developed, but it's also a natural gift. You write.
Well, I've definitely, like most writers, gotten better over time. I mean, there are very few writers who would say, oh, go read my the first book I ever wrote. I mean, maybe Truman Capote would have, most people go, do not read my first book.
There was a Australian writer named Ray Kerrison. I said to Ray, the first book I ever read was your Bishop Walsh Emerinal. And he said, please burn it. he said, I was 24 when I wrote that. And I never want that to be seen again. But actually, I thought he wrote a good book. Now, you know, last week, Charles Spencer, Princess Diana's brother, was our guest. And he has a book about the regret of going through an all-boys boarding school where terrible abuse took place. I mention that because his book is filled with regret about never sharing some of the horrors that he went through. Some reviewers have, you know, being conscious of your book, Dear Mom and Dad, call it a book filled with regret. But I wanted to ask you, regret, is it an emotion that is always a negative, or is it very often something that leads us to the more positive? Is regret a good or bad emotion in your mind, Patty?
I don't think that's a simple question to answer. I think if you get locked inside of regrets and you don't look at it as a passage, that's not a good thing. If you get locked anywhere and don't look at it as a passage, that's not a good thing. Listen, if someone who has no regrets is, suddenly I'm remembering, didn't Donald Trump once say he has no regrets about anything?
Yes, he
We're
did.
Not going to talk about him, but that just surfaced in my, if someone said to me, I have no regrets about anything, I would go, okay, that's nice meeting you. Goodbye. And I would want to leave. You know, that's not healthy.
We don't come into the world perfect.
So I think, you know, I think it's something to learn from. I also think most of us, certainly I am harder on myself than I am on other people. I mean, some of the regrets I have, well, I wish I'd learned this earlier. I wish I'd figured this out earlier. I wish I'd done it differently earlier. You know, if somebody said that to me, and people have when I ran my support group, you know, my question is always, well, did you know any better at the time? I mean, could you have done it differently? To which the answer is usually no. Then, you know, there's that great Maya Angelou quote, when you don't know any better, do the best you can. When you know better, do better. Right? We only know what we know. And some people are more evolved at a younger age than other people.
Patty Davis is our
do
guest.
Do the best you can.
Dear Mom and Dad is the name of the book. You know what I love about the book too is, and I discovered this with my parents, I guess, midway through our time together, but I don't know why we expect parents to have all the answers or do parenting right. They are always going to be a reflection of their own family of origin. And
exactly.
Patty Davis in her book beautifully gets into coming to terms with understanding where Ron Reagan was coming from, where Nancy Davis was coming from, and why they became the people they are. Can you share with our listeners and viewers, what did you learn about them?
Well, I knew some of the facts, but I didn't take a, I mean, I knew that my father was a child of an alcoholic. I knew that my mother had been left by her mother, dumped really, with her cousins at 3 years old and left there until she was nine, at which point her mother returned and said, oh, I was on a cruise, and which I don't know how she could have afforded to go on a cruise. She was a working actress, and which is why she dumped my mother, because she needed to go work on her acting career. She was a traveling stage actress. Somehow she got on a cruise, met a doctor, who, by the way, was married at the time, and then came back and fetched her at 9 years old and said, oh, I met this doctor, and we're going to get married, and now we're moving to Chicago. You know, so she had all of this upheaval and I don't think probably a really loving environment. I don't know, but I'm just kind of interpreting some things in those 6 years. Anyway, I knew the basic facts, but I didn't take a step back and go, okay, this is what these two human beings brought to the task of parenting. You know, we tend to think when we're younger that our parents' lives just began when they became our parents, right? They had histories that they brought to this task. And, you know, obviously my parents' generation didn't really believe in therapy and didn't really believe in looking to, I mean, certainly my parents didn't. It was like, you know, the unexamined lives, you know, well, we're just not going to look at that, right? But the fact is that those things shape them. Those things influenced how they, where would my father have learned to be an emotionally available father? His father was an alcoholic. You know, where would my mother have learned to be a nurturing mother? She was dumped with her cousins at three. And her mother was not exactly a nurturing person. So where would she have learned that? But it took me a while, like I said, to have that distance to make that connection. It's not like I just suddenly discovered their pasts. I just was willing to look past my own wounds, my own victimization, all of that, my own personal experiences, which I think is really what it takes. You go, okay, you know, I've done the victim thing. I've been done the wounded girl thing. Let me put that aside and look through a broader lens at this whole dynamic. That's really what this book is about.
Patty Davis, in her book, Dear Mom and Dad, also gets into something that hit home for a lot of us in the church, in that we've come to terms over the past 30 years with all the hidden abuses that have come to light and all the damage done, lifelong damage to people because they were inappropriately touched. And Patty gets into the inappropriateness of her grandmother's relationship with her. In the book, you're writing to mom and dad and you're saying, Mom, you know, you might not have believed this back then, but this is what happened. I mention that because was there ever an opening where you might have said to mom, Listen, to better understand me, you have to understand the dynamic of my relationship with your mother and how it corrupted some pretty special times in my life. Was there ever a time when you came close to being able to share what so many young people bury because of being not believed or being ashamed or thinking they'll get in trouble? Did you go through a process of saying, maybe I can share with mom the
Never.
never?
I never ever would have said something to her.
Wow.
Ever. I mean, she would have, I don't know, she would have like called up a hitman and taken out or something. It would not have been good. I mean, she would have called me a lot. It would have been just like nuclear war, you know.
Wow, yeah.
But the interesting thing is when I was writing about it, and this is the first time I've ever really told anyone about it. I mean, I never told when I've been in therapy, I never told a therapist about it. I never told I when I was married, I didn't tell my husband. I've never told people I've been in a relationship with. I've never told anybody. My parents are gone now. I'm writing this book, and I thought, you know what? It's time to, and for all the reasons that you mentioned, it's embarrassing, it's shameful. Plus, I never would have said anything while my mother was still alive. But it was in the process of writing this that I thought, okay, her mother, Edith Davis, came back and fetched her at 9 years old. That's right at the beginning of, you know, that's getting into puberty. It's hard for me to believe that I'm the only one that she, whose breasts she grabbed and who she touched inappropriately. So I think there's a very good chance she did the same thing to my mother, which my mother would completely have blocked out
Right.
and redacted and denied and all of that, you know.
Patty Davis in her book also talks about the fact that it's funny you said that your mother would have gone nuclear because there's great writing in there about Patty's anti-nuclear activities and the wonderful work she did in reminding the world about the danger of nuclear weapons. I mention that because another humble thing that you do in the book that I love because I think it goes to a problem we all have with taking on our parents when they have a different point of view, is you say looking back, instead of leading a demonstration of thousands of people against nuclear weapons, maybe I might have accomplished more by just sitting down with Dad and trying to reason with him without going public. Do you have any insights for us who disagree occasionally with our parents on what's the best and worst way to try to bring them to see the point of view we have?
Well, I think if I could do it over again, it's not that I wouldn't go public because I did have a spotlight on me and I believed very strongly in that. And I just would have gone public differently. You know, I wouldn't have gone to demonstrations. I wouldn't have been as strident as I was. I would have maybe done interviews about it, written op-eds or something like that. I would have made my voice heard because I had a voice, you know. I think the determining factor is how we do things, you know. If we approach someone as, listen, I really want to listen to what you have to say, but I'd like you to listen to me too. Can we try that? You know, that's a much more productive way of approaching another person than, well, you're just wrong, you know. You're just, I mean, I just disagree and you're wrong. And I don't even understand why you think that, you know. So, or rolling our eyes and making it clear that we're really not listening, you know. And listen, it doesn't always work, but I think on some level that other person knows, senses that we are attempting to have some kind of open road there. And I think if you approach the other person with curiosity, you know, like, well, why do you have this opinion? You know, why do you feel like this? What's behind that? People are deeper than their opinions. You know, those opinions came from something. They didn't just spring full blown out of the head of Zeus. They came from something. So, you know, I think it's just a more gentle way of approaching that rather than here we are, we're going to confront each other.
You talk in the book, Patty Davis is our guest, Dear Mom and Dad is the book. You talk about the even Dad's whole strong anti-communism inclination. Where did that come from? And And I'm thinking it would have been an interesting thing. I heard him speak back in 1976 at an anti-communism thing. Like, where does it come from in him to believe that this thing is so inherently dangerous that we can't even allow communists to speak or have a public role in America? But there was another thing in the book I wanted to ask you about, Patty. It's not just this book for our listeners and viewers about Patty's relationship with mom and dad and their relationship with each other, but it also gets into time and time again the sometimes unproductive relationship between two brothers and two sisters. And I mention that because for me, a striking part of the book was when your dad is shot and you meet in the airport with siblings and you and Maureen don't even say hello to each other.
Yeah.
Or when you say with the Secret Service among themselves saying, you know, these kids don't seem to stay in a lot of touch with each other. Why if we had a common difficulty with mom and dad because they weren't the best parents to anyone, why doesn't that bond the children to be even more inclined to communicate?
Well, I think my mother, I mean, you know, I have to be honest in my answer. My mother did a very good job of fracturing this family, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was from her insecurity, and it was like, you know, if I keep everybody apart, then it gives her more power, sort of more control. I mean, that's sort of my armchair analysis of that. But
yeah.
She did a very good job of keeping Michael and Maureen, you know, it was, as I wrote about in here, it was emphasized to me that they were my half siblings,
right?
With the emphasis on half.
Right.
I mean, I didn't use that if I referred to them in any way, but it got in there, you know, it made an impact. I think if you, you know, if that's done in a family, particularly early on, I used in the book the biblical reference of building a house on sand versus building a house on stone. And if you build a house on sand, the Bible says the winds come, the storms come, and the house will fall, and mighty is the fall. So, you know, you try years later to build these relationships, but you're building a house on sand. Families are built from the foundation up. And if there's no foundation there, what are you building on?
Yeah. I you know, we're both being armchair, but my point of view would have been, if I'm mom or dad, you know, we're going to be busy with our public careers, but wouldn't it be great if the four children at least had each other to mutually support one another? You just mentioned the Bible. So for this priest, it's a natural segue. When you were growing up, what was the faith journey like? And in so many of your writings, not just this book, it's so clear that the deeply spiritual is in you, Patty. So where were you and where have you come to?
Well, I was raised going to the Presbyterian Church,
mm-hmm.
Starting at Sunday school
right.
and then attending services as I got older. But my faith sort of became an amalgam of Eastern influences, you know, the idea of karma and past lives and things like that. So, I think that my faith is sort of a combination of all
mm-hmm.
of that.
Okay.
But, you know, as I wrote in this book, Jesus was a pivotal figure for me from an early age, to the point that I think because my father talked about him a lot. And my father would say things like, you know, when the world is really on the brink of disaster, that's when Jesus is going to come back. And I got it. And by the way, if that's true, I think he's late. But anyway, that's just an aside. Like, where are you? But I got it in my head that he was, when he came back, he was going to come back to be my boyfriend.
Mm.
And my father was very nice about it. He said, well, he's going to be very busy, you know, he's got a world to save. So he didn't discourage me, but he just pointed out that I might not be, you know, he might not have time for me. But I had recurrent dreams about Jesus for a while. I had them several times, about walking on a moon. I can still picture it. I still try to muster up that dream sometimes as I'm falling asleep. I've never had it again. But as a child, I did. And I was walking on a moonlit beach at night all by myself. Jesus was walking toward me, and we sat down on the sand and talked. I think I did most of the talking. I told him about my grandmother and, you know, other things that I was feeling. And then we got up and he walked away and I walked away.
Wow, that's a
Yeah.
beautiful encounter. Yeah. And he likes to listen, I hear. So I'm glad he listened to you,
Yeah.
Patty. That's
I think I chattered a lot in my dream.
You know, one of the things that you say in the book is Dear Mom and Dad, this is Patty Davis we're talking to. One of the things you say that saddened me, because I know it's true and for people who go into politics, but you talked about the day your dad's elected and you said politics, my enemy, because of the way in which we'd come between you and your dad. We had on not too long ago the now out of politics, former Vice President Mike Pence, and he's written a book called Go Home for Dinner. And his basic point of view was, I never wanted to be caught up in being pulled from my family by anything political. So family was everything as it had to be. But you sound from in the book like politics can be the enemy of family life and can be the enemy of building family. Do you think it's possible, Patty, to get into public life and still have what we would call a normal or healthy family life?
Sure. I mean, I think the Obamas have demonstrated that. And, you know, I think politics was one element that pulled us apart. But to be honest, I think if my parents were the people that they were, no matter what the occupation was of my family, I think the dynamic would still have been the same. Because like we were talking about, they brought their personal histories to parenting, right? So, you know, politics was one more wedge in there. And certainly in terms of my father, I thought, well, politics is taking him away. America is taking him away. And as I've said, you know, numerous times, I had this sibling rivalry with America. But, you know, the truth of the matter is my father was a very elusive man. I mean, he had that reserve, he had that distance, which is very typical of children of alcoholic. It's a self-protective thing.
You say in another place that your dad said to you, basically, it's a thing I've always believed that, you know, God has a plan for every one of us and nobody's here by accident. At this point in your life, because we're not kids anymore, we're not ancient, but we're not kids. Have you figured out this is the reason God made Patty Davis? This is what God had in mind. I found the path. I know what I'm supposed to do. I get it. I know why I'm here.
I think I still ask the question. I think it's good to always ask the question. I mean, certainly the work that I've done with Alzheimer's in light of my father's illness, that absolutely, I think that I was supposed to do that, you know, starting a support group, which I ran for 6 years. And the writing that I've done on Alzheimer's and the ways in which I still, you know, even though I'm not actually running my support group anymore, a friend just texted me today and said, I need to call you later. I think my stepmother has dementia. I need to ask you some questions. So, you know, I have informed myself about the disease and have set myself on a course to try to help other people, other caregivers. So that definitely, I think, is, and also I think as a writer, communicating with people and hopefully touching them in whatever ways I can, I think is a reason that I'm here. But like I said, I still, you know, I still ask that. I think it's an important question to ask all the time.
Patty Davis is our guest. I hope our listeners and viewers will get the book, Dear Mom and Dad, because it's so good. But I promise my last question. One of the first interviews I did long, long, long time ago, and he was a fan of your dad's, was with the iconic film director, Frank Capra. And of course, probably his most famous film is It's a Wonderful Life. At the beginning, in the discussion between St. Joseph and St. Peter, they talk about George Bailey and what's wrong with him. Is he sick? And St. Peter says, no, much worse than sick. He's discouraged. I mentioned discouragement because I wonder, in light of everything you've written about, not just in Dear Mom and Dad, but in everything you've written, you know, Patty, you've been battered along the way. And I just wondered when you have been, are you still a person of hope? And do you believe that you're not consumed by discouragement, but you see the possibility for for great things to happen in your life and in the world?
I think that sort of refers to your previous question of what we were talking about why you're here. I think we all get discouraged, we all get hurt, we all feel beaten down at times. But what do you do with that? Do you just sit there and wallow in that? Or, I used to say to people in my support group who would say, well, I'm so angry, or I'm so, or, so upset, or I'd say, you know what, you need to feel what you feel. But then you have to say, is this where I want to live? Do you want to live in that anger? Do you want to live in that pain? So it's not about gutting into denial, or as Marianne Williamson says, pouring pink paint over something. It's not that. It's not like, oh, everything's fine. That's in the category of someone saying they have no regrets. If someone says, oh, no, nothing's wrong, everything's fine, everything's not always fine, and you need to feel that. But then you need to go, okay, then what's the way through this? And more importantly, what can I learn from this? Right? What can I learn from my discouragement? What can I learn by, if something happens to you, or somebody says something to you that hurts you so badly, what did they touch in me that made that hurt badly? Because they could probably say that same thing to somebody else and it would just roll right off of them, right? What in me made me vulnerable to that?
I want to thank Patti Davis for being with us. This is the third book of Patti's that I've read. She's an incredible writer and communicator. And Patti goes the road, which is always precarious and risky, of self-revelation, and through self-revelation, help all of us to better understand why we think and feel as we do, and what's the road to healing, what's the road to being whole, what's the road to finding out what is God's plan or meaning for me in my life. It's a daring and courageous way to write, Patti, but you do it so well. And it really helps all of us, I think, to read, because it's not just your story. It's a story that touches all of our lives. So thank you for your ability to communicate and your willingness to be open and vulnerable. You're an amazing talent and gifted person. And I hope my listeners and viewers will get hold of Dear Mom and Dad, because it's so worth the read. And Patti, thank you for all you do.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed this. Thank you.
Yeah, this was good. As we end today's program, I want to thank you all for being with us. If you need to reach me, you can do that at personallyspeakingpodcast@gmail.com. You're probably listening to this on Sirius XM, the Catholic channel, but if you want to watch the program, we're on YouTube. You can search under Personally Speaking with Monsignor Jim Lasanti. Privileged to serve as host and executive producer, Personally Speaking. Our producer is Lisa Jandovitz. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll be with you again next time on Personally Speaking.